And part of you thinks, are you running a hiding because you think, oh, I wouldn't be able to cope if that was me? But you would, because we've all got them tools. We just don't know we do, and you have to use them when the shit hits the fan. Mm.
Oh, a lot.
But we can all do it, because people go, oh, you're just so strong. I'm like, yeah, well, I have actually had no other option but to be strong. I've had to hold everything down.
The Still Parents podcast is proudly supported by Global's Make Some Noise. Click details in the description to find out more.
Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to the Still Parents podcast supported by Global's Make Some Noise. I'm Dan here as ever with Ryan and with Matthew from the Lily Mae Foundation. How are you, gentlemen?
I'm very well, thanks.
We have a very special guest that we are delighted to, although obviously we wish he didn't have to come on. You might be familiar with the name. She's doing a lot to raise awareness after her own tragedy. And it's something which we're going to get stuck into. But let's introduce our guest today. And please, a very warm welcome to Kelsey Parker. Hey, Kelsey, how are you?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Whereabouts are you joining us from, Kelsey?
So I'm at home in Kent. Sunny Kent. It actually is lovely to be fair today. It's very hot, very warm.
Yeah, it's already getting quite stuffy in the studio, isn't
it?
Last summer, Kelsey had the devastating loss of her baby. It was called Phoenix. There's a lot of tragedy that has been in your life in the last few years. Some may already know, but Kelsey's husband was Tom Parker, who was a member of the very successful pop group called The Wanted, who have been knocking around for, well, just over 10 years or so ago. And when they first came on the scene, and Tom passed away, it was about 4 years ago from an operable brain tumour. So obviously Kelsey had to go through grief at losing her husband, and now, 12 months ago, lost her baby boy, Phoenix, who was born sleeping. Am I correct with all of that, Kelsey?
Yeah, that's all correct.
Is there any particular place you want to start at with this?
You guys fire away some questions.
Because I've got, yeah.
I don't even know where you start with that, do you?
I know.
What a shit show.
Yes. That's going to be the title of the episode. We'll put a link in the description for this as well, because Kelsey is very active on our social media, on her Instagram, and was recently on, it was Good Morning Britain, wasn't it, that I saw?
Yes.
With the one and only Mr. Ed Balls. It was him. He's the guy that did my favourite ever tweet, wasn't it? Was that the one who just tweeted his own name?
I have no idea.
Did you know about this? Do you remember this, Kelsey?
I can imagine that.
In the early days of Twitter, and Ed Balls signed up. You can Google this. It's brilliant. He signed up for Twitter, and I think he only ever did one tweet, and his tweet was to write his own name.
Literally just said Ed Balls.
Ed Balls has tweeted, Ed Balls. And that was it. I think, yeah. How was that experience going on that recently?
Do you know what? It's taken me obviously all that time to actually process what happened to us. So I think when you lose a baby, people always want to know why and like what happened. And I think that's what I found really hard, quite insensitive when you lose a baby. But for me, obviously, the way we were treated by the services that showed up on the night was just absolutely outrageous. Yeah. And I know people were so devastated for the fact that I lost Phoenix that it was like, how can I then come out and go, oh, yeah, P.S., this is what happened to me as well. Like, people weren't ready for me to talk about it. And I think for me personally, it's taken me a year like to actually get my head around what happened to us. Because every time I spoke about it, I would like just get like, I don't know if it's like rage. It was like a vibration that I would like feel about the circumstance, because the way they took everything away from us that we could have had with Phoenix, and, you know, following people's stillborn journeys, people get to go into the hospital. They have pictures. They get a photographer in. They have that time. But obviously that was taken away from us. Yeah. We had all of that taken. We didn't get the pictures that we would have wanted with Phoenix. Like, everything just got like ripped from underneath us.
It's absolutely horrible what happened. And we'll get into this, but before, just with the, if you could tell us, if you don't mind, about the birth of Phoenix and what happened, because it was a home birth.
Yeah, it was a home birth, but basically I went into natural labour. Yeah. I was out with the kids. They were actually at a birthday party. And I went into natural labour, came home, said to my mum that, oh, I think you need to come now. Yeah. But I still obviously thought I still had time. And then literally by the time my mum and that arrived, he was born 7 minutes later.
Wow.
So there was no time. There was no time. It just, my body did, like, we all just underestimate our bodies. Like, as humans, like, we all do this all the time. Like, our bodies are powerful and we can do whatever we want. And that my body just did what it naturally was meant to do, to give birth.
Yeah.
Which I did. And then obviously when Phoenix, for some reason as well, when I was actually giving birth, I was like, this needs to be filmed.
Yeah. Which is quite normal these days, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, it is normal, but I just had this feeling, a witchy sense.
Oh.
And Will did actually film it. And you can just basically as well, the timings, you can see that we did everything by the book. But yeah, when the paramedics turned up, I mean, I feel like as well, it's just protocol. They're all just robots and it's just protocol. And they didn't have a handover from a midwife because obviously there was no midwife present. So that the way they handled the situation was just really, really poor.
It was just like a cocktail of things that weren't right and could have been handled better. Obviously, with, you know, the midwife.
And it was a domino effect.
Yeah.
The domino. So one guy made his choice of how he was going to handle the night. And actually, his energy spread through absolutely everyone. There was no person that put their head above the water for me and went, come on, like, what are we doing? Like, the way we're treating this family is, like, completely wrong. Like, what are we doing? Even down to the fact that, obviously, when I got to the hospital, they'd taken Phoenix off. I didn't even know where Phoenix was. They literally just rushed him out the house. And when I got to the hospital, I was like, can I be with Phoenix? No, obviously, I've got a police escort. And then they said, I said, please, please don't take me to the maternity ward. Yeah. Like, it's actually cruel if you take me to maternity. And I just felt like this paramedic didn't even go and ask. I feel like he went round the corner, waited for a second, came back and went, sorry. And when he came back, I just knew he went, oh, yeah, you've got to go to maternity.
I want to bring Ryan in a second, but just before we do that, because there was a lot that happened here. So Phoenix was born sleeping and then you, I think it was your mum, came over, wasn't it? And you had to phone the ambulance came and then the police got involved. And one thing I remember you saying when I've listened to stuff that you've spoke about previously, recently on the Good Morning Britain, was the fact that when you asked about it, you were told that it was the ambulance crew's first experience of stillbirth.
We're still having meetings now and we sat there for 3 hours in this room and that one of their excuses was, we're really sorry, but they've not seen a dead baby before. And I said, I'm really sorry, but that's neighbor not my problem.
Madness. Yeah, that was so insensitive.
Can I just ask, just for clarity as well, Kelsey, and also Dan, for the listeners of the podcast, you didn't know that Phoenix had died prior to birth, did you?
No.
So Phoenix obviously...
Phoenix was still moving. Like, obviously, that's a lot of questions that I've had. Obviously not to me, to other people.
Yeah.
Oh, did she not feel it move anymore? It's like, she just blanked it. Like, it's just so insensitive. He still had movement. He still had heartbeat. I guess it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Phoenix died. Like, there's not an answer. And if we could all have an answer, I know that we all try and research and we want these answers, but I know how sad it is and awful. But some, like, babies die, people die, like, and it's awful. But people do want answers, whereas I didn't search for an answer. There's nothing that they can tell me that's going to make a change anyway.
Has anything come out? Have you discovered any reasons or anything behind what happened in the
no,
past
because
12
there
months?
There was no post-mortem, there was nothing. I didn't want, just let him be.
Yeah.
He just passed over to his next life. Yeah. And that's how I'm very spiritual. I probably think completely different to a lot of people. Mm. And I think again, as well, because I had this spirituality that actually when I was in hospital, they couldn't deal with that.
Yeah.
But thank God I do have that spirituality because what they actually did and how Phoenix looked.
Yeah.
It's good that I think that his soul had already passed on to his new life because you would be absolutely devastated.
I'm just listening in, just taking on exactly what's happened and what you gone through. And you know, as a bereaved parent myself, I know how complicated everything was when we went through our loss. So then to have, we say this quite a lot when we work with our clients here at the charity, is that it can be layered grief as well and layered trauma. And that's pretty much what you've had as well, right? Because you've not just had the loss, you've had everything else on top of that. You've had everything else to handle and deal with. And no wonder it's been a year where really you can process everything and really come to terms, but you can talk openly about Phoenix
and
everything.
The thing is with me though, is I'm actually a really quick processor. And again, people can't cope with that. And probably people around me can't cope with that, but I can actually process really, really quickly. So even when I had Phoenix in my arms and I held him for nine minutes, that was the only nine minutes I got with Phoenix, I had processed it. Like, he wasn't coming back to life. A parent who hasn't experienced what I have with Tom, because obviously that did help me on this journey, because I actually watched Tom die and he had a beautiful death. So I know I've been there.
Yeah.
What would Phoenix's life look like now if they did manage to resuscitate him and bring him back to life?
So to give you some info with these guys, so Matt, who you just spoke to with the cap, who's a bit blurry on our camera over here, it's because he's so beautiful. So we get jealous, me and Ryan, so we have to have him blurred out. He lost Callie, Matt and his wife, Crystal. Happy birthday for Crystal yesterday, by the way, Matt.
Thank you very much.
They lost Callie, and it was would have been Callie's 10th birthday at the time of recording, just over a week ago. So Matt and Crystal have just gone through that build-up, and I've known Matt almost 10 years, and I've seen Matt was handling it different this year because it was such a landmark birthday. Was the 10th one. But when they lost Callie, who she lived for 27 minutes, and they went to, I guess, the equivalent of the Robinson suite was the Jasmine suite, wasn't it? Now you, and I can't get my head around this, did not have access to that suite, the Robinson suite, where you could stay, I believe, for up to a week, wasn't it, with your child?
Yeah.
And you just went to the maternity ward instead.
I don't understand why they did that to me, but I think I actually don't know why. When I was in it, I was going to my best friend. So my best friend is also called Kelsey. So I'm turning around to Kelsey and I'm going to her, am I in a film? Like, this has got to be a film. Like, how is it this bad? Like, how am I being treated this badly? Mm. And it was actually Kelsey. So when they came in and they pronounced Phoenix dead, I said, what happens now? Like, obviously you're asking all these questions. Kelsey said, can I just ask, why are we in this room? Like, surely you have another room for someone who's going through this.
Yeah.
Kelsey obviously told them as well that they're inhumane, how they were treating me. That's probably the word of the night, inhumane.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, it fits, doesn't it?
Kelsey said, okay, so if Kelsey had managed to get to hospital, so she's got Phoenix and is coming out and she's managed to make it here and you can quite clearly see that Phoenix was a stillborn baby, where would Kelsey and Will be right now? Mm. And they went, well, the Robinson's room. And she went, oh, no, it's actually in there!
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, what did she say?
It was like, do you know when it's like, what are you actually doing? Like, how are you treating me like this? So then we had to fight to then get me into a room. And there wasn't that option for me. They didn't once say, we can bring Phoenix up here and you can have the time with Phoenix. I don't know why.
Was that because of the police involvement? Is there a reason? Because it doesn't. You were almost made to feel like a criminal.
Well, yeah, they actually called it a crime scene.
Yeah.
They've come back on that. They've actually apologised on that.
Yeah.
Because also I felt like as well, when I went on Good Morning Britain, I'm telling this story and it seems so extreme to you know, the viewers, that actually when the police confirmed that they should never have called it a crime scene, I was like, by doing that, they've actually said everything I've wanted to hear because you've actually said that what I did go through was true, because you almost think that actually happened to us. Like, did I go through that? And because they said no, when they literally came to the house and they were like, this is a crime scene, again, their attitude was really, really shocking.
Yeah.
And even with this pregnancy, they've said, what can we do for you? And I said, just show me kindness and love, really. That's all I'm asking. They went, oh, hopefully we can do that in this hospital, because I've changed hospitals. And I'm like, Yeah, you'd think they'd be able to do that at the other hospital. Not once did a person come in and put their arm around us and say, "You, not even you're going to be okay," because it's probably not even the right words to use, but, you know, we've got you.
Yeah.
Even when they came and watched that video, they watched that video with me in the room. Like, I've just lived the experience, and now you're watching the video. I actually took myself into the bathroom and covered my ears so I didn't have to relive it. I'm like, I've just lived it. Like, I just, even to get a tea, we actually asked to get a tea. It was like, can you get this girl something? Like, please, can someone, like, that's what Kelsey was like.
If they've apologised, which I assume you've had an apology, I couldn't accept an apology after having that type of treatment. I'm obviously being different, being a male, but if
Ryan's an angry man in general.
if my wife was going through that, well, I'll tell you now, I'm swinging at that point.
This is the conversation that I had with my bereavement nurse, because I said, actually, Will is like horizontal. He's the most laid back person you've ever met. So, but if it was actually probably Tom in the situation, it would have been a different story and them treating me like that. Whereas Will, like, I think Will was just in complete and utter shock. And also, when we talk about Will, you know, this is Will's first baby. This is his first child, and he's just watched me give birth and the baby's not breathing.
Just briefly, and just for our listeners. So Will is your partner now, and your two children, is it Aurelia and Bodie? Yeah. Have I got the names
Aurelia
right?
Aurelia and Bodie.
Aurelia and Bodie, and who you had with Tom. And Will is your current partner, and Phoenix was with you and Will. And who does sound, from what I've listened to so far, very, very laid back. But he also didn't get to meet, was it? Or hold, he didn't get to hold.
He never, ever got to hold so Phoenix. Sad. So that time when you're saying you went to, like, your suite, or we went to the Robinsons, they should have, for me, Phoenix should have been brought up to us, and we should have had that time. And, you know, we could have the pictures and we could have done whatever that we wanted to do. That was never a suggestion. And the consultant said that we couldn't hold him when we went down. First of all, she said, you couldn't. And I said, what on earth are you talking about? He's my baby. I've just had him for 9 months inside me. What on earth are you going on about? And then they said, if we were to hold him, we could hold him through a mattress. And I didn't really understand what that meant.
What the fuck? Sorry, what?
I felt like I kept getting myself in more and more trouble, though, because I am quite vocal and I'm very good at advocating for myself.
Good.
Because I did tell them about spirituality and stuff like that. So I think they were a bit taken back.
I just can't understand how anybody, whether they're a consultant, whether they're just a general somebody walking down the street, can it...
The trauma you've got for me in your throat.
Oh, no, Kelsey, I'm fucking angry. That's my thing. Is that from a human empathetic perspective, and from just seeing the pain that you would have been in and the pain that Will is in, for somebody to turn round and rob you of that opportunity to hold your baby, who you've quite rightly said you've held him for 9 months. Kelsey, I'm amazed at how you're not locked up in prison, because I'd be fucking killing someone.
You know what comes across to me with this as well? And listen, Kelsey, you can obviously, you went through it. You can tell me whether I'm right or wrong here. But I just can't get my head around how little common sense has gone on here, right? And listen, you take away all of the stuff that's happened. It literally is care, empathy, and common sense.
But where's it gone?
No, listen, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying.
We received some feedback yesterday for our baby loss support service, our baby loss support worker. And I just think the way that he's said this sums it up for me. And he put, Matt is brilliant. And to speak with someone who has actually gone through a similar trauma rather than some university graduate who has only read it in books was a massive breath of fresh air. You cannot teach somebody common sense. You cannot teach somebody how to be empathetic. Sadly, we have too many people, and a lot of them are working within our medical system, who are so well educated through reading black and white that they are so removed from what real life.
Well, thank God for my bereavement nurse, who actually has made me feel like I'm not a fucking lunatic. She was sent to me. She called me. So I lost Phoenix on the Saturday. She called me on the Monday. And her opening line was, you've got me because the whole of the bereavement team are on holiday. Well, I went, they've already seen my name flag up, haven't they? And they've gone, calling her, the old nutter. So then, and she literally is my guardian angel because everything I say to her, she basically went in and she's gone to town on all of them because she said protocol was not followed. What should have happened was that paramedic, he came here, he would have seen Phoenix, there was no sign of life. They would have taken Phoenix's blood, his blood would have read no sign of life. They then wrap Phoenix up, we put him in his blanket, so he gets to come in bed with me and Will, we get the cold cot delivered out to here.
Yeah.
We spend the time with Phoenix that we want to spend with him, and then Phoenix, when we are ready, goes on to his next place. Yeah. I mean, literally, I've got goosebumps.
Kelsey, can I ask you, and please tell me no, because I want to ask you about how you have managed to grieve, but also help your children at the same time, because like you say, they're young. Kids of that age have a very black and white way of looking at things, and they obviously knew that Phoenix had died. How has that journey been with them? Because obviously, as we already know, they've also experienced the loss of their dad as well.
How old were they at the time?
Aurelia was 5 and Bodhi was 4.
I love that name, Bodhi. What a name that is.
Yeah.
Great name. But also his name means so much because his name means the awakening and enlightenment. And actually when I had him, I had this whole awakening in my whole entire life. I was 35 weeks pregnant with Bodhi when Tom was diagnosed. And Bodhi was my awakening to the world and how I saw the world. Because obviously, again, when Tom was diagnosed, it's like you went into a room, again, inhumane. You're in a room and it's like, yep, he's got stage 4 cancer. That's it. We're going to give him a bit of chemo and radio. If that works, then we'll try a bit more. However, go and enjoy the time that you've got left.
Was there any similarities in the way that you were dealt with by medical staff or during Tom?
I spoke about it on Good Morning Britain. And I said, actually, because I'd experienced that with Tom, when I got to Phoenix, obviously I had these consultants and police officers and whatever in the room, but I've spoken to the best brain doctors in the world. Like, I didn't care. I was like, I don't care who you are. Like, I've literally been on the phone. Like, we used to joke with Tom because every day we'd be on the phone. It have messaged a surgeon and been like, oh, can I speak to you? And then we'd be ringing Australia, we'd be ringing America. Like, literally, we spoke to so many surgeons and brain specialists around the world. So you're having these conversations. I was really in the medical system with Tom. So with Phoenix, it was like, I've been here, I've done it. Like this, you're not scaring me. Because I guess that other people might have been scared in that situation where obviously I wasn't scared. But going back with the children, it was really hard with Phoenix because I think with Tom as well, they were so much younger. Bodhi was only 18 months when Tom died. And Aurelia was like 2.5. So, you know, with them, it was like, dad's gone to the angels. Well, actually, when Tom was dying, I said, I'm going to the hospice today and the angels are going to come and collect daddy and then we won't see daddy anymore. So that's how I dealt with it. And then when he did die, I said to them the next day, the angels got daddy last night, so that's it. We're not going to see him. And I was very matter of fact to say, we will not see him again. Mm. However, with Phoenix, obviously, it's like 9 months of torture because they were so desperate for this happy ending and having a baby and that fulfilling everything for them. So then that happening, Aurelia was actually asking when I gave birth, is another one coming? Oh, and it was like, no, darling, another one's not coming. And Bodhi, he's just quite quiet. But I said to Aurelia, oh, Phoenix is with dad now. And she was like, I hate my dad. Why has he taken Phoenix? Jesus. And da, 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 da. And I was like, no, daddy's looking after him for us. So it's been quite hard. And it was the why question because I couldn't seem to give Aurelia the right answer that she needed.
Mm. And especially the ages that they were at and they are now, because you're going through that and you've still got to be mummy for...
Yeah.
What are well, for toddlers.
So well, literally, he was born, Phoenix was born on summer solstice, and obviously that's the longest longest day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was the longest day of the year. Like, yeah. I just, it was just like, oh, my God. And we literally came home. I think we got into bed. I don't even necessarily know if me and Will even slept. And then literally the kids were up at six. That was it. We were then on to the next day. And actually, Aurelia had she'd had a friend's birthday party. And I said, she still needs to go to the birthday party. Like, life still needs to continue for them. And then she went to school. They both went to school on the Monday as well. Because also, what I think with children, having them at home and having them surrounded by that sadness.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not good for them.
It's so, that routine, isn't it? You need the routine.
Yeah, I sent them to school, but I actually did email their like head of prep and said, Aurelia is very vocal. And what I'm concerned about is other children haven't gone through deaf like she has. So actually, if she's a bit too vocal in the class, please, can you take her out to like a nurture room or something like that? Because I don't want her to actually upset other children.
Yeah.
She'd go and go, ah, you sitting there at the weekend? My brother died. That is a radio. She's very like, well, she's a bit like her mother.
I'm thinking, you know, I'm hoping we're getting to the point where I feel comfortable saying this. Sounds like I know where she's got that from.
Yeah. Yeah.
But kids are literal, aren't they? Yeah. Kids are literal. Yeah.
But that is their life.
Yeah, yeah.
Their life is that their dad died and their brother died. Like, how? What else can you actually say?
Yeah.
The Still Parents podcast is proudly supported by Global's Make Some Noise. Click details in the description to find out more.
Do you ever ask yourself the question, Kelsey, why me?
I knew you was going to say that.
Because I used to sit there and question myself and think, what have I done something because I've grown up that's just put me in, you know, why have I been dealt this shit pack of cards or why have I been dealt this devastation and why is it me that's having to follow this through when I'm looking at, you know, a maternity unit with a lady who's 9 months pregnant smoking 20 B&H whilst drinking a can of fucking Tennent Super. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I questioned why me.
And also I questioned like all those nights in the fucking works when I was a dickhead and all that. And I was like, you know, and I was treating people just because I wanted something.
Where?
Like, you know, in the works.
Oh, on Broad Street?
So, yeah, yeah.
That used to be a nightclub in Birmingham.
A bookshop.
but like looking back, I was like, I was a proper knob at times. And it would come through that, like, is it because of this?
Yeah,
it does. Like, yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't feel like that at all. I don't think why me. I actually think that I've been put here for a reason and I'm experienced these really extreme things that have happened to me, but I'm actually here to help other people.
So it's almost like fate in a way.
Yeah.
No, I don't feel like fate is I think we're all here. Listen, you're taking me down the path right now.
I'm with you on this because
I sound fucking nuts.
No, it's not. It's because the spirituality part of things. We're all very differently minded in here.
Yeah, I just feel that we're all here and we're all here to learn a lesson. And, you know, people like you're going to go, well, why have I been given this lesson to learn? Yeah. But we'd have been given this for a reason, to either help others and whatever. And then also, you have to think of, for me, Phoenix was sent to me for a reason. And I know the reason as to why he was sent to me, because he knew that I would do exactly what he needed me to do. I spoke to Phoenix a lot during my pregnancy. We were very connected to each other. And I think he picked me for a reason. And I believe that you do pick your parents. So I think you have to take some sort of beauty away from it. And I believe that you come back and you have another life. So was I just the vessel that he needed to move on to his next life?
That's an amazing way of looking at things. And I don't know
if you can put that in there. Does that make me sound a bit nuts?
No, it doesn't. The name Phoenix, I had a client not that long ago and they've gone on to have another child and they have named their son Phoenix. And the reason was is that they're effectively correct me if I'm wrong, Kelsey, but it's like the rebirth, like the rising of a Phoenix.
Yeah.
And they've called their son Phoenix.
Yeah.
Did you in regard to knowing, sorry, in regard to his name, had you already...
He was always
going to be.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
But again, that is for a reason. But me and Phoenix know that reason together, why he was always... Like, there was no other name. Obviously, we didn't know we was having a boy. It could have been either. We was having a surprise baby.
Okay.
But Phoenix was always going to be Phoenix, boy or girl.
Yeah.
And there was no other name that came into play. It was always Phoenix. So it wasn't even the fact that I'd had a stillborn. I was like, I must name this child Phoenix. That was always... When I spoke to him, that's how I spoke to him. He was always Phoenix.
But I've said this regular now anyway, that and I've said it on a regular basis, that I was a sports coach for 21 years and I changed career at 38, and I'm now doing this role because, that's why I can't now be sad about Callie's my firstborn who we lost. So Callie was born and I wouldn't be doing this job without Callie, us going through what we've gone through with Callie.
And Callie was sent to shift energies and move energies, and it's so sad because you think that for them, but if you look at the beauty and we don't look at the negativity of death, and we just think of the next life and whatever, and, Callie might be back in, and there's so much more to it. I mean, guys, you need to come to one of my circles. I talk a lot about this sort of stuff. But I think it gives you peace of mind, and then you haven't got that anger and that, I could be so angry that all of this has happened to me.
Yeah.
But I can't be, because actually it was for Phoenix.
Yeah. Kelsey, how does Will feel?
That I'm a fucking nutter. Again, Will is very much on my page, and actually we have worked through this together. And I think, even having the spirituality, that I have a friend. I have a friend who's a witch. I'm not a witch. No, her name's Evie. We'll give her a shout out. Evie actually came round. I had a lot. I had the house cleansed. I had everything, because obviously the negative energy in this house was like I needed it all cleared. And Evie came round, and she actually, together with me and Will, we saw Phoenix onto the other side ourselves.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I didn't get to do that, and that was taken from me. And that was really, really beautiful. So Will is very open-minded, and I do think it's hard for dads as well. And the fact that he didn't even get to, hold Phoenix, but I'm like, well, I only did actually get to hold to him for 9 minutes. And it was obviously the 9 minutes that I actually held him. But we're working through it together.
What's his male network like around him? Is he...
His support.
I just think blokes are shit. And also... Sorry, guys.
Cheers, Kelsey. Thanks.
And I've had a lot of people for Will and therapy, but obviously our sort of therapy, how we do it, is probably different to other people than going to sit into a room. Like, some of it he doesn't actually need to speak. It's hypnosis and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
And I would love to host men's circles, because I do loads of women's circles and they're really, really powerful. And these people come and they have a lot of stuff that they come to me with. But men need it more than anyone. How do I get them in the room?
It's funny you should mention that, Kelsey, because as it happens, just before we got on the phone with you today, we were discussing about the fact of hosting a Still Parents podcast men's circle hosted by a female from Essex.
Kent.
Oh, well, we'll do Essex for the second
Evie
one.
Evie lives in Essex.
Did I say
you're going to use
Mate,
Evie, not
I'm,
me?
I'm from the mid. I'm from the Midlands. I don't know anything south of Watford.
It's interesting.
I think men need to talk more. They definitely do. And I don't know. His friends didn't know what to say.
Yeah. Is that, Kelsey, is that because they didn't have their... Did they have their own children, or was it just the fact that Will was one of the first ones to have a baby? Or is it... I know that men can be really poor at being able to talk to each other and open up. But I also like to think that the stigmas that are associated with men opening up and showing emotions are very much being diminished and are continuing to be diminished over time. And it is things like, this podcast or other podcasts that are out there.
Well, they are exactly that. They're stigmas, aren't they?
Yeah, stigmas. And men quite often throw platitudes at each other because it's the easiest thing to do. You know, you throw a platitude, have a beer, boom, done. Yeah. Right, I've done my bit.
I fixed him. He's all right.
Exactly that. And I think at the time when we lost Lily, so this is back in 2010 when we lost Lily, I was the first out of all of my group of friends to have children. And
how old were you when you had Lily?
Oh, Christ, 2010. Oh, I was 28.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I was 28.
Yeah, and Will was 28.
Right, okay. So at that time, all of my friends, my best mate, who is still my best mate now, was probably the only one that I am still in contact with now because he just showed me a bit of time, bit of space, also just sat and let me do whatever I needed to do, talk, do whatever. The others couldn't do it. It was as simple as that. And I don't dislike them for that because I do think as well that...
Any resentment?
No, because I don't think they knew what to say and what to do. They didn't know how to react.
I think sometimes we spoke before, they might be scared. So they'd rather not say anything than say the wrong thing.
This is the whole thing with grief and loss. People don't know what to say, so they say nothing.
Yeah.
But that's actually not the right way. Like, I think when someone loses someone, when Tom died, I wanted to talk about Tom. Mm. I was like, why are people crossing the road and don't want to talk to me? Like, I actually want to talk about Tom.
Mm.
Like, it is really sad that's happened to us, but this is our life. We're living it. And part of you thinks, are you running a hiding because you think I wouldn't be able to cope if that was me? But you would, because we've all got them tools. We just don't know we do, and you have to use them when the shit hits the fan.
Mm. Oh,
but we can all do it because people go, oh, you're just so strong. I'm like, yeah, well, I have actually had no other option but to be strong. I've had to hold everything down.
That is one of my favourite sayings, is that people have no idea how to be strong until they've got no other option but to be strong.
Well, I know, so you're writing about me there.
No. You're very suspicious, aren't you? I'll show you.
I'm not sure if you can see that.
I've put intro clip. So at the start of each episode, we write a little bit to from the guest. So I'm just writing it for my notes and the timestamp. I didn't write, Kelsey's a nutter.
Get her off.
I saw that quote as well early on after losing Callie's. You don't know how strong you are until strong is the only option. Because it is, what do you do? You can have moments where you fold, right? But life has, you have to keep going.
And also, I've got a really strong mother. So after Phoenix, she went to me, you've got 2 days of me doing the school run. She went, then Wednesday, you're back up to school, okay? And I went, okay. I went, will you come with me on Wednesday, though? I went to the school run on Wednesday, but it was the best thing. Like, she needed to actually be tough love with me because I faced everyone, and that whole awkwardness and the taboo and people not knowing what to say, well, they've actually seen my face. So it's like, okay, Kelsey's right, that's it. She's up, she's getting on with it. We'll all support her. I saw my friends at the school gate that wanted to hug me and kiss me and have a cry and whatever else. And then it was like, right, I'll see you tomorrow and we ain't doing this tomorrow. Okay. But then also, it's so hard. It's that catch-22 because after 30 days, my friends, because they'd actually lived this with Tom, the same sort of friends came back over and done the same thing. Like, my friend Sasha always, she does the morning. So when Tom died, Sasha used to turn up at 6 o'clock in the morning, get me up, get the kids sorted, help me out, like try and piece it together. Then someone else would come and do another shift, and then I'd have someone for the evening shift. And they were amazing because that's actually what I actually needed at that time. Yeah, I guess it was the same. Like, my friends came over and we had coffee and we done whatever. Do you know what? It's, I think, after anyone dies as well, it's all the other stuff that goes with it. All the phone calls, like how many phone calls I had about Phoenix. After I had Phoenix, I got sent, I don't know if you guys got this, but I had basically a review of my care.
Yeah.
And they send it home to you. I mean, I felt like it got sent 6 days after I had Phoenix. Apparently it wasn't. It's more like 6 weeks. However, I didn't obviously answer this review because how can I give you a TripAdvisor on the worst day of my life? It's true though. I was like,
I never.
I love you.
it wasn't on that scale at all. It wasn't on that scale at all. But I can kind of empathize in a sense that when things came out about Callie, we had something come back to us that the professionals had met. And this is Crystal, my wife Crystal, still talk about this now and again when we talk about Callie. She said that the only person they didn't ask about the care and about Callie was Crystal. And Crystal turned around and went, how can you make any decision? Because I was there. I lived it. And there's people around the table.
And I'm her mum.
Right.
I'm her mum.
And she said, not to this day, no one professionally asked her about certain bits about Callie's journey and about her journey.
Still now, 10 years on.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Just,
so I'm guessing it now it never will happen.
Well, of course it won't. No, but,
Like you were saying, they all sit in a room and they all discuss, but there's no compassion, there's no love. That's not heartfelt. They're just ticking boxes going, right, so Kelsey Parker, Phoenix Park, how do we feel? Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like she had a good time. Yeah, fantastic. And anyone's got any objections? No. Okay.
Next.
On to the next case.
No, it's true.
Soulless, isn't it? Absolutely soulless.
It's just a room of boffins.
That's it.
Sat there, just tick, like Kelsey what you just said about ticking boxes.
But right, what you said about the education side, that's where they're...
Yeah.
And I do think sometimes the education side, because they're educated, they won't be told either, or they won't...
I've said this before, and Amy won't mind me saying this, but... There's a family member within our family who is so, so clever, stupidly clever, consultant, can literally recite. You could show a book, they'll look at it for 30 seconds and they'll just recite the whole thing. That's how good they are. But my God, there's not an ounce of common sense.
Yeah. So Tom used to have this consultant, right? And obviously he's very high up. He's looking into the brain every day. He's got this whole trial going on. And when he used to ring, he used to just say, so, Tom, how are you feeling? And Tom would be like, yeah, I'm all right, I'm all right. And then he'd be like, okay, fantastic. And then Tom would get a throw and went, holy fucking asses, are you all right? And I went, but that at the moment, I said, I think when you've got a brain tumour, Tom, what he's looking at is if you don't feel all right, then he's got a problem. However, if you do feel okay, he's happy. Well, Tom used to say to me and Kelsey used to go, I'll say his name. We go, you see Paul Mulholland? I'm like, yeah. He goes, I know more than Paul Mulholland. I'm like, do you? He goes, yeah. He goes, I mean, but he's actually obviously got like a PhD and whatever else in like brains, Tom. Like he's very high up in his job. He went, yeah, but I'm researching every day. He went, he's done his research. I'm researching every day.
Can I just say, Kelsey, that is a cracking impression.
He was sat there every day researching. He's like, yeah, I know more than them. I'm like, okay, you know more than the scientist, Tom, yes. But to be fair, he might be right. And obviously we did go down this different route and about feelings and however else you feel. So... Tom did speak a lot of sense, but it's just funny.
No, you mentioned it briefly earlier, but so you are pregnant again now.
Yes.
How?
I've not just been eating loads of pies, guys.
How many weeks are you at the moment?
I am. I'm actually not disclosing.
Oh, okay.
How many
weeks
I am. Right.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I don't need people ticking off on their calendar at home.
All right. No. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, how soon after the loss of Phoenix was this a planned thing, or did it just happen, or how did you feel about trying again?
I really wanted another baby straight away.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the people within our NHS actually came round and told me how fertile I would be after having a stillborn, and that, you know, I should look at contraception and stuff.
Oh, wow.
That's
again, another conversation that, what's that got to do with you? Anyway, who are you to say when I want another baby, I might want to fall pregnant straight away.
Yeah.
As well, part of the grief is you want love and you want something.
Yeah.
We got a Doberman puppy instead. So
yeah.
Oh, I know a lot. We deal with a lot of people, don't we? Yeah. Like individuals when we do our one-to-one who, when they've lost a baby, they will get a dog or do something like that. Yeah, because they want that instant love and instant connection to something that they can put their energy and their focus into.
I think it's part of grief that we don't talk about. And obviously I had a lot of judgment on that when I lost Tom, because I did get into a relationship quite quickly. but we're all so hung up on time as well. Mm. Time was just structured by us to live our day. Like, time actually is not a thing. Mm. Like, why are we so hung up on time? Because we don't know how long we've actually all got left. So why are you so bothered what other people are doing?
No, yeah.
You
yeah.
could die. We've not promised tomorrow. So yeah. live for today. Do whatever you want to do. And it's got nothing to do with anybody else. So I did get myself into a relationship quite soon. Was it the right relationship? Absolutely not. But I do think that is part of grief.
Yeah.
That you want this someone to actually put their arm around you and go, you're going to be all right. And I think, you know, I've been with Tom for 13 years. Like, I was 19 when I met Tom. Like, he's all I ever knew. And to lose him, I needed something. And I thought, how can I do this on my own? However, obviously, that person wasn't the right person. And then I met Will, and Will's absolutely amazing. But I think for us, you know, it wasn't even a conversation.
Yeah.
We want a baby. So we're here and we're doing it again.
Are you, obviously I'm not prying for just any information that you want to give, but just out of curiosity, is it a similar process as in you're not finding out the sex and have you already decided on a name? Or where you at with things? I don't need the actual answers to it, but just an illusion.
Yeah. We may know certain things already.
You may know certain things already.
There we go.
That's what we'll be like.
That's enough.
But also, my kids are very connected with the universe and are very, very witchy too. So, Aurelia just, I think she knew when I was about, you know, early stages. She kept going, have you got a baby in your
family? Oh, really?
Like, how does she actually know that?
Intuition.
But we've not told the kids. I only actually told the kids just before I announced the news.
Okay.
Because again, like I'm saying, Aurelia would have gone into school and gone, did you all know? Mum's having a baby.
Oh, yeah, they start flapping the gob. I'm finding that out now with my youngest, Emmy. She's 9. And I realise now there's certain things I can't tell her because she'll just about some of her friend's parents because she'll just repeat it to him in the place.
Just getting to that stage now. Yeah. I realise, like she's...
Oh, just, what my dad says about you.
Yeah, I had it last night. It's just put you in a lot of trouble.
They're just so matter of fact.
What does your relationship look like with Phoenix now?
Me and Phoenix still we connect all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel so privileged that I actually have got this spirituality and I've got this insight to this world that I'm in because I can connect with Phoenix whenever I want. And even after he died, I had these people come forward and say, do you want me to do these things, X, Y, and Z? I'll tell you after the podcast what they were.
Okay.
I just got this massive connection with him. He shows me so many different things. He shows me signs.
Yeah. I love it. I love that. No, I love it.
Thank you so much for joining us, Kels. We've only got a few minutes left, so I just want to make sure before we wrap up, if it's anything in particular that you want to mention. But before that, there's a couple of other things I want to mention. One is, it's kind of ironic because you jokingly said, I think it was a joke towards the start, talking about, you know, whether this was almost like a movie script or a film or something. But actually, the more I think about it, the more it actually could be because it's been that bonkers, a lot of the stuff that's gone on.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes they say...
You can't sell this story to Netflix, all right?
No, but sometimes as they say,
don't worry, we've sold it to Sky.
I've got a meeting tomorrow about that.
Sometimes, as they say, you have to exaggerate a point to make a point. But in your case, it's not exaggerated, and all these things would make for something, especially in your space of raising awareness. And there is an awful lot that you do. And bearing in mind, because it's just in my head, because I wondered if you'd seen it yourself. It was the BBC show Babies, which did not get anywhere near the amount of exposure it should have got, and it was all about a couple who'd lost a child.
I do think there's a lot of work for me to do in this sector, maternity care, mums, stillborn, dads, everything, because I feel like even for women, we are the only people that can get criminalised for this, for giving birth. I could have gone to prison for that. If they thought that I'd actually killed him, I could have gone to prison for giving birth. There's so much more. There's so much light that needs to be shone on this and just maternity care in itself. So I feel like I have been positioned here to help so many people because I don't know if you can tell, guys, but I've got a bit of a big mouth.
I didn't notice.
I thought you were quite reserved.
I'm quite shy.
That's like me saying I'm quite hairy.
When we did the charity football match, it's that raising awareness, people speaking about it, because we don't talk about it and we're all so frightened.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, for me, there's so much change that I can make. And I know that, like, you even just joked about Sky, but Sky are making a lot of movement. Sky News, that they're really looking into maternity care at the moment, because I think more needs to be done in maternity care.
Damn right.
Absolutely right.
I think as well, like what I said, that when I first lost him, like, obviously my algorithm on Instagram, because everyone's talking about it, my whole algorithm was stillborns. And I would be on Instagram and I'm scrolling, I'm like, oh, they've got a photo shoot. Oh, they had that. They had that. And I was like, how did they not even bring that cot up to me?
Mm.
Like, how could they, like, even now we're talking about this and I'm going, how did this happen?
It's just completely inhumane.
And how much can you actually fight without actually getting arrested?
Kelsey, is there anything else that you would like to mention or anything that we haven't brought up you'd like to get off your chest before we let you carry on with your day?
I've said a lot of that.
Kelsey Parker on this episode of the Still Parents podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful.
This has been the Still Parents podcast, supported by Globals. Make some noise. And thank you very much to Kelsey Parker for joining us on this episode. All the details will be in the description on how you can get in touch and follow her socials. Thank you very much. Take care, everyone.
The Still Parents podcast is proudly supported by Globals. Make some noise. Click details in the description to find out more.